This is the Atlantic City Caper, written and read by Tom Weiss. Chapter 1. The Empire Arms Hotel was the kind of place where the elevator made more noise than the guests. It sat on a block that had seen better days, and it wasn't hard to find a vacancy. The open window in Cole Harper's room let in the restless city, the honking of cabs, the shouts of vendors, and the occasional bark of a stray dog, all mixing with the thick, humid air. It was cheap, the kind of place Cole could afford. Sleep didn't come easy these days. Cole lay on the sagging mattress, one arm draped over his eyes, trying to ignore the rhythmic drip of a leaky faucet down the hall. From somewhere in the hallway came a muffled cough. The room smelled like old paper and stale coffee, which wasn't far from the truth, considering the state of his nightstand. A loud knock cut through the haze of half-sleep. Three sharp raps echoed through the thin door. "Hey, Harper," called the hotel clerk, his voice bored and nasal. "Phone call, opposite the can. Some lady says it's important." Cole groaned, rubbing his face. Nothing good ever came this early. He rolled out of bed, groping around in the dim light for his pants. Once he found them, he yanked them on, tugged his suspenders over his shoulders, and stepped into his shoes. "This can't be anything good," he muttered. He shuffled across the creaky floor and pulled open the door. The hallway smelled like mildew and something fried from the diner downstairs. As he approached the phone, he passed the bathroom door where the leaky faucet dripped steadily. The hallway light buzzed, fighting to stay alive. The phone hung on the wall outside the bathroom, a heavy black rotary model with a thick cord twisted from years of use, the kind of phone that could break your foot if you dropped it. It wasn't a payphone, just the house phone, one of those shared lines for guests who couldn't afford a room with a private telephone. It sat on a dusty shelf barely wide enough to hold it, an inconvenient spot unless you were expecting a call while waiting for your turn at the john. Cole quickly swept the shelf with his hand, half expecting to find a few nickels. No such luck. "Harper," he grunted. There was a beat of silence followed by a slow, drawn-out exhale on the other line. Cole straightened, suddenly more awake. "Cole?" The voice was low and smoky, which lingered even after the line went dead. Cole knew that voice. "Ava?" he asked, half puzzled, half wary. Another beat, and then the line clicked. Dial tone. Cole lowered the receiver slowly, his gut already tightening. A call with no answers, a voice from the past, and a feeling creeping into his bones that this morning would only worsen. Chapter 2. Back in his room at the Empire Arms, Cole sat on the edge of the bed, running a hand over his face. The call still echoed in his ears, soft, familiar, and unfinished. He couldn't shake the sound of that voice, Ava, the last person he'd expected to hear from, and just like that, she was gone again. He needed to clear his head. Maybe a shave would do it. There was something about starting the day fresh, even if the day had already started rough. He set his razor on the cracked porcelain sink, watching the water swirl down the drain. Harper worked the blade over his jaw, the morning stubble disappearing in slow, methodical strokes. The mirror reflected more than just his face. It reflected the questions rattling in his head. Dressed and a little less ragged, he struggled on his coat and headed out, leaving the dim, musty room behind. The hallway smelled like mildew, the city noise still filtering through the open windows as he reached the narrow staircase. The Empire Arms elevator was more temperamental than a bad alibi, so he took the stairs two at a time. Outside, the morning felt just as tired as he did. He pulled his collar up against the bite of the wind and walked a short distance to the Empire Diner, just two doors down. The diner was trying too hard to sound like something it wasn't. It had ideas above its station, but the cracked vinyl booth, cigarette smoke-stained ceiling, and coffee that could dissolve a spoon said otherwise. It was the kind of place where nobody asked questions before noon, and the waitstaff had seen it all. Rosie was behind the counter, her hair pinned back tight, the coffee pot in one hand. When she saw Cole come in, she raised an eyebrow. "Morning, Harper. You look like last night kicked you down a flight of stairs." Cole gave her a half smile. "You always know how to brighten my day, Rosie. What do you have?" "The usual." Rosie shouted the order toward the kitchen without looking away from him. "One special." She poured him a coffee. And Cole wrapped his hands around the chipped mug, letting the warmth seep into his fingers. A newspaper headline on the counter screamed about crime, but Cole barely noticed it. He wasn't interested in yesterday's problems. "You working a case?" Rosie asked, sliding the coffee pot back on the burner. "Nope, just killing time." Rosie nodded, as she knew better. Cole could feel time killing him right back. A minute later, Rosie dropped a plate in front of him. Eggs with the edges crisp too much, toast as black as coal and as dry as Sunday sermon, and coffee that could take the paint off a Buick. Cole didn't complain. He dug in, not really tasting it, more focused on the thoughts turning in his head. He finished his special and lit a cigarette, taking a slow drag and letting the smoke curl above the counter. Rosie handed him the check. "Big tip, Harper strikes again," she teased, eyeing the coins he dropped on the counter. "Maybe I'll get that new girdle I've been eyeing up." Cole ignored her, leaving 30 cents, 25 for the meal, and a nickel tip. He picked up the Philadelphia Record, rustling the pages as he scanned the news. Just the usual crime stories. Nothing jumped out at him. He could feel the indigestion already creeping in. 25 cents for eggs, toast, and coffee was a good deal, but the sight of heartburn came free. He flicked his cigarette into the ashtray, folded the paper, and set it back on the counter. With a nod to Rosie, he slipped off the counter stool and pushed open the diner door, stepping back onto the sidewalk. The morning was waking up around him, but he still could shake that nagging feeling that today was going to get a lot more complicated. Chapter 3. Cole stepped out of the Empire Diner, his head still buzzing from the burnt coffee and Rosie's half-hearted attempts at cheer. The morning air hit him, cooler than it had been earlier, but still thick with the smell of the city. As he moved down the sidewalk, he spotted a newsboy, a kid who couldn't have been more than 12 with a cap too big for his head and mismatched shoes. The boy was waving a paper, shouting headlines to anyone who'd listen. "Extra, extra! Hensley case solved. Police say case closed," the boy hollered, his voice cutting through the city noise. Cole approached the boy. "Why aren't you in school?" The boy shrugged. "Ain't learning nothing in school. Besides, Ma says I gotta bring home some change, gotta keep food on the table." Cole gave him a quick nod, fishing a dime from his pocket and handing it over. "Keep the change, kid." The boy grinned, tipping his hat. "Gee, thanks, Mr. Harper." Cole just nodded, folding the paper under his arm and moving on. A kid trying to make ends meet. It was the kind of struggle Cole understood. His office wasn't far, second floor of the Wilkinson building, where the rent was low, the radiator clanked in protest, and the only thing colder than the drafty windows was his case file drawer. He climbed the stairs, the creaky steps reminding him of the Empire Arms unreliable elevator. The door to his office was already ajar. Inside, Betty Lou was fumbling with the phone, her nails clacking against the receiver. "Harper investigate. Wait! A loud click cut her off and she groaned. "Oh, shoot, I hung up." Cole leaned against the doorframe, lighting a cigarette, shaking his head. Betty Lou looked up, her face a mix of apology and exasperation. "Did you see the news? They solved that big Hensley case." "Yeah, so they say," Cole muttered, taking a drag. Cases like that didn't just wrap up neat. Something smelled off, and it wasn't just Betty Lou's coffee. "Oh, Mr. Harper, there's a man in your office," Betty Lou blurted out. Cole raised an eyebrow. "And you're telling me this now? I tried to stop him, but he just walked right in like he owned the place." Cole took a slow breath, crushed his cigarette into the ashtray, and moved toward his office door. On mornings like this, he should have stayed in bed. Hand on his revolver, he pushed the door open. Sitting behind his desk,
legs stretched out on the surface like he owned it, was Detective Stephen McAllister. A cigarette dangled from his lips, and he flicked ashes into Cole's porcelain coffee cup. "Hey, Harper, figured I'd make myself comfortable," McAllister drawled. "You always were one for manners," Cole replied, keeping his voice flat. McAllister grinned. "You and Harrington did good work on that Black Market Shadows case. Figured I'd drop by and say thanks. Harrington disappeared again. Seems like she's always doing that." Cole sat on the edge of the desk, giving McAllister a sideways glance. "You don't strike me as the grateful type." McAllister shrugged. "I'm not, but I figure you've been working too hard. You look like something the cat dragged in. You need a break." "Didn't know you cared," Cole said, smirking. "Let's not get sentimental. You're no good to anyone half dead. Take a trip. Go to Atlantic City for a couple of days. Lose some money. Meet some dames. Hell, maybe just sit by the water and drink." Cole chuckled, shaking his head. "Sounds swell, McAllister, but problem is, I'm fresh out of money to lose." McAllister waved it off. "And just drink. You look like you need it." Cole couldn't argue with that. Atlantic City wasn't a bad idea. A few days out of Philly. A chance to clear his head. Maybe McAllister was right. Trouble was, trouble had a way of following him, no matter where he went.